Good evening, ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls, Illegal Curve fans. Here we are, Michael Remus and Richard Pollock, high atop the ice surface at MTS Center. This is the Illegal Curve Hockey Show post-game podcast. I'm your host for today as Drew attended the game as a fan, and I'm here with Richard recapping the Jets' 3-1 victory against the Carolina Hurricanes. And coming into the game, the Jets were on a four-game losing streak where they had only scored two goals. And it seemed like playing the Hurricanes, who were expected to be the bottom, I don't know, five at the best teams in the league, was a perfect medicine to cure their losing streak. And, you know, coming into the game, they made a few lineup changes, inserting Grant Clitson for Adam Party, yep, and Matt Halichuk, who had led the team in points in the preseason, and he was in for Anthony Peluso.
I actually like both those moves, Michael. I mean, Clitson, you know, for his defensive deficiencies, moves the puck better than Party does and is a better skater than Party. Halichuk is more offensively gifted than Peluso, and Peluso and Thorburn are redundant, so I mean, that goes to the point of why do you sign both to contracts, but that's another day's conversation. So I like both of those moves, and I think Halichuk's able to play the opposite side a little bit better than Peluso. When you look at this game, though, I think you look at, I'm going to name five players off Carolina's roster, and you're going to tell me if you've heard of any of them.
No, okay. I can already tell you no. I look at this roster, and you know they have both Stahl brothers injured, but even with those guys injured.
Chris Terry, Patrick Brown.
I kept thinking Chris Terry was Chris Terreri, or Chris Terrien.
Brett Bellamore.
No.
Victor Rask.
No. Is he Tuukka Rask's
Zach
cousin?
Boychuk.
Yeah, I know Zach Boychuk and Riley Knapp.
You know Brad Malone?
No, I did not know Brad Malone.
Yeah, he's a UND boy. But, I mean, again, I named five guys there that most fans won't have heard of.
Patrick Brown.
So when you look at this game, it was, you know, and I was talking about it with Paul Edmonds during one of the intermissions, it's a tough game for the Jets because they have to win. And the expectation is you win, and then the fans are satisfied but not happy. And if you lose, then you lost to the Carolina Hurricanes. So, you know, Michael, I didn't think it was a very impressive performance, but I thought it was good enough to get the W, and I don't think the Jets are big on moral victories right now. They just want to win. And so I thought there was a little bit more jam to their game, as they say. Jacob Trouba threw some big hits. I thought Mark Stewart, penalties aside, was trying to create contact. Dustin Byfuglien was pretty engaged. I thought Adam Lowry played a really nice game. He took the puck to the net. He had a goal we'll talk about. So there were definitely positives. And Andrew Ladd, I thought, you know, brought it a bit too. So, you know, the Jets aren't going on all cylinders here. Like, you know, as I mentioned, those players or some other players who didn't bring a great game. But Andrei Pavlik allows one goal, and the Jets are able to build some confidence. And let's be honest here, look at their next five games. Tampa Bay on Friday, very tough game. Sunday against Colorado, I mean, Colorado's not going well now. That doesn't mean that they're not turning it around. There's a ton of talent on that top six. And, you know, they're hopefully have their goalie situation fixed by then. And then you look at the road trip, Jersey, Islanders, and Rangers. I mean, good luck on that. So the Jets had to have this one, and they have to have for sure one of the next two. In reality, they probably want, you know, we want that they want, but two of the next two here before they go on the road. You don't want the season to fade away. So not the most impressive performance, but a W.
Yeah, I would agree. I mean, they did control the play. They did win the Corsi battle. If you're going to look at the advanced stats for, you know, even though they were leading, they, you know, they got a lot of shots towards them, but it seems like when they're in key situations, they're, you know, you had Byfuglien missing wide. I remember point blank, Paul Postma was tapping a stick for a one-timer and just blasted it wide and rung around the boards. It definitely was room for improvement, but as you said, they just needed a win. They needed to get off the losing streak and gain a little bit of confidence.
Yeah, you're playing the worst team in the league, right? Probably
yeah.
The worst team in the league. And so, you know, you're at home and you know, Alexander Semin scores in the last minute there, if he does, which he usually would off the pass from Jeff Skinner. You're 3-2, it's a tight game. But for the most part, the game wasn't really in question here. The Jets got off to an early lead, and once Byfuglien scored, the game was basically done. Carolina doesn't have a lot, and I know Shane Nattie had pointed out that the Carolina needs to kind of score first. And, you know, obviously every team needs to score first, but Carolina is a team that, you know, they're not the biggest team, they're not the toughest team. Their speed and transition will be able to be more effective when teams are trying to force the play, which the Jets didn't have to tonight because they got the lead.
Yeah, let's just go through the scoring summary real quick. 1:57 in, and the Jets, they need to score two. I mean, if you score first, you have such an advantage. Mm-hmm. And Andrew Ladd scores his first of the year. He gets off this tonight. And I thought you saw a lot from him tonight. I mean, not so much on this one. He kind of just crashed the net, and the puck bounced up and hit Khudobin in the back and in the pad and somehow trickled in. But you saw him taking a lot of wrist shots where you hadn't seen the last few games. His signature, you know, little quick quick wrist shot. He's need to be going much better than the last few games.
You know, I would agree. And I think that when you have a tough game or a tough streak right now and you need to win, your best players need to be your best players. And what I liked about this goal, Michael, is, yeah, it's a dirty goal, but that's what I like about it. Andrew Ladd's in front of the net. Too often you play in the perimeter. You know, Andrew Ladd's most effective when he's mixing it up, when he's engaging in contact, you know, on the boards and open ice and in front of the net. And I like how he went to the net. And Dustin Byfuglien goes to the net here as well. You know, boxes out Andreas Sequeira. So you have, you know, you have Ladd in front there. He beats Victor Rask and Justin Falk. Justin Falk, you know, has some parts to his game I really like, but some parts to his game I don't like. Ladd is able to kind of take Rask and Falk, wills that puck in, you know, pushes it in and makes sure he goes to the net. You know, those aren't plays that you, those are plays that you can create by a willingness to go to the net, not just by skill. And I like that. And another thing I like on this goal, Michael, is that Enstrom gets the puck through. You know, it's one of those things where you assume guys do it more often than they actually do. It's getting the puck from the point on net. And he got the puck through, didn't miss the net, wasn't blocked, and then Ladd went to the net. So simple hockey, but simple hockey is able to get teams that are struggling, you know, off the schneid.
Yeah, and we got to go to the next goal. Another guy, Adam Lowry, wins the faceoff, gets it to, to Postma, who passed it to Klitsam. Who takes a shot in his, you know, first game of the year. And Lowry, with a nice tip, tips it between Khudobin's legs for his first goal of his NHL career.
Now, I don't know if this actually, and you don't get many replays up here, right? As you don't have the pause button as you do at home.
Right.
I don't think Lowry actually won the draw. I think what happened was Lowry went for the draw, Carolina guy went for the draw, and the pucks smoked the Carolina guy's skate and then popped up to Postma. Now, what you see there on this goal, Michael, is Postma and Klitsam are reversed on the side that they play. Postma is a right side defenseman, but he's on the left side for the faceoff. And Klitsam is a left side defenseman on the right side for the faceoff. Why do you do that? You do that to set up the one-timer. And the puck comes to Postma. Where does the puck go? From Postma to Klitsam. It's an easier one-timer. You cannot really do a one-timer otherwise. It's a one-timer on his off wing. Klitsam doesn't get a hard shot on net, but gets a shot that's in the air and tippable, if that's a word.
Right.
And Lowry goes to the net, gets a stick on the puck, which is a big guy, played a forceful game tonight, tips it in for his first NHL goal. So, again, you know, simple hockey, getting the puck through, but also strategy there. You know, give the coaching staff credit for implementing that kind of play, although lots of teams do it, and allowing guys to be in situations to succeed.
Yeah, Adam Lowry started off the first couple of games of the season at wing, but then they decided they needed Matthew Perreault on the second line due to Kane's injury.
Yeah, it's interesting because I don't like Perreault on the wing.
Okay.
We'll talk about that more on the show, but I like Lowry at center.
Yeah, but you like Lowry at center. He had a great game. He played physical, made a lot of smart plays. And the Jets did get into some penalty trouble in the first period. Ladd had a holding. Mark Stewart had a tripping. Carolina did capitalize on the power play. Yuri Talusti tapped one in front that was reviewed, but was a goal.
Yeah, and I mean, the concerning part here is the penalty kill. So poor. And the spacing was awful. And I know the penalty kill has been pretty good for the most part this year, but you have a massive gap in the coverage there. The seam pass is just sitting there. And I mean, no one's covering Talusti in front of that. So the pass comes through, and then Talusti's sitting completely, you know, on his own in front. Enstrom, Bogosian overcommitting on one side. Slater not rotating. Lots is going on in that penalty kill. So that's going to be one thing they're going to look at the tape, and they're going to want to fix. But Talusti had some effective moments today. And, you know, Carolina was going to be, you know, they score their only goal on the power play, so even strict, they're having trouble creating, and that just shows you how just you have to stay disciplined.
You know, speaking of special teams, the Jets, I mean, obviously haven't scored yet on the power play this season. They did have five power play chances today, weren't able to score, but I thought they, I mean, it's not like they're not getting chances and not controlling the puck. I think last year we saw a lot of them trying to gain control and struggling to do that, but it seems like they have a plan in the zone. They're passing around, but not quite getting the scoring.
Yeah, you know, they are creating some chances. I hadn't watched the power play as closely probably as you did there. But, you know, there is things that chemistries and line combinations. And the thing about Evander Kane is he's not the most effective power play player, so he really shouldn't be the reason why the power play is struggling right now. So, I mean, they are creating some chances, and they're going to be overdue. But I personally think they're, while they're creating chances, they've become pretty predictable in terms of how they enter the zone.
Mm-hmm.
And I think with a little more speed, a little more creativity, they can allow themselves more opportunities in the offensive zone on the power play.
Yeah, well, that's one of the questions that we need to get answered. When will they score the first power play of the goals of the season? It wasn't tonight. The Jets were ahead 2-1, and you kind of felt at any time – you know, the Jets were really taking it to Carolina, but at the same time, they were still only down a goal. And
And Carolina kind of carried the play the second half of that second period, if I recall. I mean, the Jets didn't have many shots that period.
Yeah, that's – let me just look at the shots here.
It was 5-4 in the second, yeah.
5-4 in the second. But Dustin Byfuglien gets the puck on the wing and just blows by Justin Falk. Yeah. And, you know, Deke Skidum puts it through his legs. You don't see too many Jets scoring on a Deke on a breakaway in the last few years.
Yeah, you don't. And I mean, poor decision by Falk. He pinches up, Byfuglien gets past him. Byfuglien gets ahead of steam. You're not going to catch him. He can skate really well when he's going, and he's huge. So Falk chasing him, Falk chasing him, actually takes a penalty on the play.
Right.
And Byfuglien just like doesn't, as if he doesn't exist, goes backhand five-hole deke on Khudobin, which is a beautiful goal. And I thought Byfuglien was really engaged today. Played a really nice game. You know, the Carolina Hurricanes on defense make a lot of bad reads. It's kind of a mishmash of talent there. There's some people that you're probably thinking for the future, but you know, Ron Francis was in attendance tonight, and he's got a lot of work to do. But that's a credit to Byfuglien pushing that puck up, and you know, Falk shouldn't be making that read, but credit to Byfuglien again. And I think, you know, Byfuglien, you can see at the beginning of the game, Mike was really into it, was physical, made some nice plays. I think he's most effective when he carries a puck. You know, I think he's on the perimeter when he gets a puck and makes a quick pass. I think when he gets ahead of steam, he creates open lanes because players, you know, feel like they have to body up on him and they get chasing. And when he gets going, I think he skates a lot better. He's not, you know, as a big guy, he's not the quickest off the shoot, but he was skating today with the puck and he was making confident plays. And you mentioned earlier a chance that he had, you know, again, chances, you'll get goals if you get chances. And Byfuglien played a nice game.
Yeah, and he thought he was engaged. He was getting to scrums after the whistle,
right.
Pushing guys around.
Right.
And I mean, if you're an opposing player and you're trying to get a go up against Dustin Byfuglien, I mean, that's a pretty tall task.
It's a tall task, and I think he makes his line mates better. Not too many guys on this team are that much, you know, make their line mates that much better.
Yeah, I'm looking at, before we wrap it up, we'll look at the minutes. I mean, Enstrom, almost 27 minutes, led the whole Jets. Mm-hmm. I thought Trouba played a nice physical game, yeah. Got into it with Jeff Skinner, had a nice hit. I think it was on Zach Boychuk. I don't recall correctly, but he was laying the body. He played 22 minutes. Bogosian,
Trouba's
22
big hit?
And a half.
Yes. Riley Nash.
Oh, Riley Nash. Thank you. Yeah. And Ladd and Little led the forwards with just over 20 minutes. So the Jets wasn't their best game. But they did outplay Carolina Hurricanes, who's much weaker than them, and they did get the win, which they needed.
You know, they ride their horses today, and some will tell you that on the road that might hurt them because of the 27 minutes and things like that. But I don't think Paul Maurice really cares about down the road right now.
No,
I don't blame them. You need to get confidence. You need to get wins. And they're at home. They're at home right now. You know, there's a five-game homestand. And so you can afford to lean on your guys a bit more. No travel.
Yeah, and the next game for the Jets is on Friday.
Tough one.
Here at Tampa Bay, who's had an easy stretch here. They won at Edmonton yesterday, and they're in Calgary tonight. They lost in Edmonton.
Won Vancouver on Saturday.
Right. Yep. Thank you for that. And that was Richard Pollock. For Michael Remus, this is the Illegal Curve post-game podcast. Stay tuned. Tomorrow, the Illegal NHL Midweek with Illegal Curve will be on TSN 1290. That's at 6 p.m. and 8 p.m. And Saturday, as always, is the Illegal Curve hockey show from noon to 3. And that's it. Michael Remus here, Illegal Curve post-game podcast. Good night and good luck.